possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. Wow. It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. We've got an all-star panel today of Lee Keegan, Tomás O'Shea and Enda McGinley with myself and Rory. So Rory, we're going to make ourselves scarce and let the lads have at it.
Damn right.
Because it's very rare that we get the three of you on together. So Tomás, can I start with you overall on what you've made of the league generally before we get into the finals? What have you made of what you've seen?
Look, it's the same, Jackie. I think it's a brilliant competition for me, and I know people are sick of talking about it, and there's a lot of talk about the structure and all that. I suppose this year, above all, you know, when you see teams like Mayo and possibly Kerry, who it doesn't suit them to make the championship, the Division 2, 3, 4 are probably better value in terms of, don't get me wrong, there's some brilliant games in Division 1, absolutely outstanding, but when it comes to the point where teams, it suits them not to make finals, then you'd have to question that. But the rest of the leagues, I think, have been brilliant. I think the finals, I'm looking forward to them. I think there's going to be four crackers, as close as you'll get to championship. But when you look at it, the league is brilliant. The league is a great competition, but you have the league and then you have a championship, and it all dips. It all actually dips for a while, and it's the structure of the championship. It's different provinces starting at different times. And I see it happening that the voices are coming out now, and there's more of a voice to start those provincial championships earlier and put the league running straight into the championship. And the only reason they're saying that is to have the top teams playing like with like, and that's what they want. And I think we're going to have a brilliant weekend of football. And I just read this morning with Andy Moore and how excited he is for Leitrim.
He's always excited, yeah. Tom.
Yeah, but he's like, it's just, I think it's going to be brilliant for them. And I think any talk, I think it would be a huge mistake to do away with the finals. You know, rejig it in such a way that the senior teams have something to play for and a little bit of time and space between the championship starting. But I think it's going to be a great weekend of action. And for the leagues, Jackie, look, it's always the same. In reality, the Division 3 and 4 teams, you know, it's their opportunity to really kind of take a step up the ladder and compete for a meaningful win and a meaningful victory that they can actually target to win. And I think that's what the leagues bring you. It brings you a chance of success every year in every division. And that's why we like it. So it's going to be a great weekend of football.
Was at the start, I remember writing last year that because people hadn't played through the extended championship that we were facing into last year, that maybe last year's league was the first time people were going flat out from day dot. I felt this year was the first time you see more games which really did feel like shadow boxing, sort of very much sort of throwing fixtures at times, no more so than the likes of Derry and Dublin, although there was a couple of factors into that. But I just think with the season and its current permutation, I think managers know Mayo last year, your classic point, you can't go hammer and tongs for the league. Hope to continue that through the championship, or through your provincial championship, and carry it into All-Ireland. Something has to give, and you've got to pick your battles in the league. I think that we've seen that this year. And whether that lends its argument, as you say, Tomás, I fully agree. The league is a brilliant competition. How much do we allow it to be diluted to make sure that the provincials stay where they're sitting?
Yeah.
And I think that's for people with much bigger paychecks than us to figure out.
But the current argument that I'd say in that is, you know, I give full credit to the likes of Derry, who have an absolutely insanely prosperous Ulster campaign, like really tough, but yet they put such an emphasis on the league this year, where they see opportunity of winning gold. So like, why do they have that mentality and other teams see it as a shadow boxing kind of thing?
Well, probably get on to whenever I think that's if Mickey Hart is to do one thing, that's the biggest thing he's doing to them. He is on Operation Belief, essentially the same. And I just remember it so well from what he'd done with us in the initial days as well. I just see it reflected so much. So Derry have very openly said they're going for that All-Ireland title.
Can I ask you a question on that, Enda, right? You talk about Operation Belief. Is a trophy this weekend important to that?
The actual walking up the road with the silverware, not so much, but absolutely going toe-to-toe with Dublin and getting more belief that you can beat them on down the line. Like all the lads know, the big games, you can lose them on narrow margins, you can lose them on calls, just wee slips here and there, but you walk away from a game knowing that, look, we definitely can take those boys. Dublin are without doubt the benchmark at the minute. So Derry want to see that. And like Mickey coming into Derry obviously has been a major talking point at the start. I think we've all wrapped our heads around it now. This time last year, I think that's the best sort of reflection to make. This time last year, Derry in the league final against Dublin, Derry had won their Ulster title. That was seen as a bit of a breakout. There was start of murmurings, geez, Derry could actually push here. But nobody really was thinking of them as genuine contenders. They played in that match in the Division 2 league final last year. They were sort of there. They were hoping to do well. But reflecting back on it now, you could see there was probably a deficit of belief. They went on, had a good Ulster Championship campaign. You could see a belief. There's back-to-back Ulster titles. Then that match against Kerry, the Ireland semi-final, you could sense the disappointment, the gut and disappointment afterwards when they almost realised, here, we are capable of doing this and we should have won that game. Now this year, they right from day dot, have been saying, we want to win the league. We are capable of winning the All-Ireland Championship. Like Conor Glass emphatically said in the venue, look, we are aiming to win the All-Ireland Championship. You don't get that, I'm not saying, but you don't get that from a Mayo player. You know, you don't get a Mayo player said, we are aiming to win the All-Ireland title in the next 2 years. That is what they're doing. Mickey would have come in and he has a way of getting a team to just believe. And we all talk about belief. Yes, we have belief. Yes, we have belief. But I mean absolute, complete, 100% belief that you are entitled to win the All-Ireland, that you absolutely should be winning that All-Ireland and that nobody else should be matching up to you. And I can just see that starting to flow into that Derry team. The win down in Kerry was important. Now they were lucky enough, but it was still done. The win against Dublin and Celtic Park, if they had went all out there, would it really have convinced any? Not really. But this is the game they'll be targeting. Then they've got the break and everything else. So, yeah, it's got the making of a brilliant game because I think we'll see Derry and Dublin. For me, sort of on another, they are the two best modern, the two teams playing the modern game at its very, very top. And when we're talking about rules and everything else, this Sunday and these two teams going at it, will all of us will learn a huge amount of where the game's at.
Tomás, I do wonder about, you know, what Enda's saying about a Derry team going toe-to-toe with Dublin and what they might learn. Is it nearly more important for them in that case? Because I think we've probably seen from Dublin, they're starting to show their hand. Maybe they're going in the right direction, but maybe a day like this, Derry are going to learn more from it than a Dublin.
I think, like, Enda touched on it there. Like, they're after winning back-to-back Ulsters. The next step is, it's not that it'd be a disaster if they didn't win in All-Ireland, but the next step has to be to compete at the very, very top level. They had an unbelievable chance against Kerry. Kerry did so well to come out of that with a win last year. And Derry look back at that and say, they're not far away. You have two teams contesting the Division 2 final who will be aiming to win Ulster. But I think Derry, and I think Mickey Hart has played it brilliantly this year. I think he has introduced players. I think he has kind of questioned that if they're going to go all the way, they're probably going to have more strength and depth. But I do think that All-Ireland is the next step for them. I mean, if they win another Ulster and fail down in Croke Park in All-Ireland semi-final or whatever, I think they have to target themselves against the Dublins and the Kerrys and whoever else is up there. And I think that will be the big question for them. I don't think their championship fails on Sunday because they don't win, but I do think that they have to come away from Dublin saying, yeah, we're up there and we're on a par with them. We're not going to be blasted over the water. I think Dublin have surprised me this year. I don't know what the plan of attack, we've just discussed it there, that it's going to be very, very hard to come through. They had a slow start to the league, but by God, did they rip into it. It's phenomenal. It's actually, I look at it now, thinking about it yesterday, it's like they have four types of groups of players, if you think about it. There's a group of players that aren't there at the moment. There's a group of players that seem to just, the Brian Howards, the Kilkennys, the Cons, the Fentons, the John Smalls. Then there's a group of players behind them that have been kind of fellas that we were saying, oh, will they make it? By God, they've made it. The Buglers, the Baskells, the Merchants, the Lee Gannons. And then there's another group coming, the newcomer, Sean McMahon, Cian Murphy. Like, it's just, I was above in Galway watching them the last day, and it's like, whatever players are playing, they just know how to defend, they know how to attack, they're the best team at making the game look simple. You look at it and you say, geez, it's not that complicated, is it? It's whatever way they just go about it. And like, I think if Derry can come away from Sunday, because I've no doubt that Dublin will show up to win it, and if they can come away saying, yeah, either winning it or coming away, we're not too far away at all. And I do think they have the raw materials to go about it. I think Derry are all about pace. They're all about patience when they need to be. But Derry want to play at a fast tempo. And yep, it's the one thing that will hurt any team, no matter Dubs, everybody, pace and directness. And you'd like to see somebody posing more of a threat as McGuigan, even with all the strength and depth that they've tried to unearth this year. You know, they still rely on him. They still rely on him big time. And, you know, the Dubs opened them up another bit. But look, you'd have to say that Derry are in the top two or three for the last couple of years. But they'll want to make the step up. It's as simple as that.
I think it's a good barometer to see where they really are. Like, I think it's a great test for Derry in terms of, okay, we're within the league. They've made it clear what they want. But I think it's going to give us the idea of how competitive these guys are really going to be, because I think we know Dublin are going to put out a full strength Sunday. I think the problem for Dublin is that I think Dublin get bored. And when they look at Leinster, it's just boring for them. I think there's nothing to get them excited. There's nothing to get them kind of pepped up. I think the sight of a full strength Derry team, that gets those Dublin lads, you know, really fired up. And then come to the group stage, the knockout games, that's where we see the real Dublin again. So I've been really impressed with how Dublin are being allowed to play football. It's somewhat structured, but they have this kind of looseness about them now. You know, we did that game in goal all the time, and the couple of times their attack changed, like not the Scully kicking long ball just directly on top of the goal defence. And next minute, then they play around the goal defence and then they play through it. So there's so many different avenues and approaches and ways of breaking down teams. And I think that's the scary side of Dublin, is that they're just playing with a kind of fluidity and off the cuff. Where over the last few years, I think it's been quite structured and gets the scoring zone and all kind of methodical. I think now, I think Desi has just got them playing with such a happy zone. I think that's probably the frightening thing I see. And it's funny, you're on about that four-tier group of Dublin lads. The tier four lads probably crack into any top eight team outside of Dublin. Do you know, that's the reality, how good they are. Cian Murphy's, the newcomers. Do you know, it's frightful when you look at those guys playing the way they're playing, and then you don't even have Lee Gannon play at the moment, or Jamie McCarthy, or Fitzsimons, or Cluxton, and then you've Baskell coming in the weekend against Tyrone. It's just, where do you stop looking, and where does it ever end? And that's the test I want to see. Can Derry really go after a full strength Dublin and see where they are, really are as a group of elite players now, to say, do you know what, hey, we're ready for this challenge and we're going to take it on.
That's the beauty of the league as well, Jackie. Like, this time last year, you rewind and Dublin were in Division 2 and they were just chugging along, like, and it seems to be like there's, everybody says you have to do it a certain way. It's not like it's just, last year they did it a certain way. I don't think they have any plan. They take game by game. They work their way up. They try to get their best team forward. They have a game plan, but they always seem just to have that hunger to go and a point to prove, even after all they've won, which is a scary. They always find an edge. Great teams find an edge, and they have it. Like, and this year is completely different. Compare this year's league to last year's league is chalk and cheese.
So have they gone up a level even from winning the All-Ireland, do you think? Have they gone up a level?
I think they have.
Yeah, they're probably strength and depth, definitely. Yeah. The hunger the older lads are showing, and the leadership they're showing. And are you telling me, like, the Cluxtons and McCarthy's, with all the experience, with all the success that they have, won't be looking over their shoulders coming back? And that'll drive training, that'll drive competition. It's just a perfect storm. And it doesn't just happen. You'd have to give Desi unbelievable credit for the way he's managed all that, because it doesn't just fall into place because you've got good players. So I'd look at that part of it as well. They manage the whole thing so brilliantly, like. But I mean,
probably just when you asked that, Jackie, and again, it's sort of hindsight looking back, but Desi Farrell faced just about the toughest managerial job. Yes, he's dealing with great players, but coming in after Jim Gavin, filling those shoes, and Jim Gavin had such a structured, that team had such a clear personality, such a clear identity of how they played the game. And Desi came in and has tried to change it, and that hit a bit of a roadblock the first year. Next year, you could see them getting in the groove. They obviously won the learn. But maybe, and it was just you asking the question, had me thinking, maybe with that sort of, they won the line, starting to get a wee bit more attacking. The Kieran Kilkenny's journey, I think, really represents it, where he went from being the player he was under Jim Gavin, the backwards pass, and it sort of frustrated us all in the keep possession. He now have been looking at it a lot. He is so aggressive when he's on the ball. Even if he'll try and beat a man. And it's his very, very last option to go backwards or to go sideways. And that throughout the Dublin team, they are so aggressive in terms of attacking. Their last option is to go backwards. They will try and keep their foot on an opposition's throat whenever they have them busy defensively. They just don't let up. But then with the Ireland win last year, it's as if they now fully believe in playing like this. They're now fully backing themselves playing like this. And they are a serious operator. The one hoping Lee touched on it there. Because the backup players are so good, us pundits all get slagging off whenever we point out that all our teams are missing players. Say Derry were missing players when they played them in the league, and everybody pointed out the raft of players that Dublin were missing at the same stage. But because Dublin are so strong, there's not a massive gap between the players that are coming in replacing the household names. The quality is so high, whereas for other counties, your top players are your top players, and when they're not playing, there is a drop off to your second level. So I still think Derry are going to be a completely different team. Whereas Dublin, even whenever they bring them boys with the lorry loads of medals back, I don't think it changes them as much as it will do other teams. Getting back to the game, for me, tactically, last year's final, Derry pushed up. Dublin cut through for, what, 7 goal chances, I think it was last year. I was rewatching it yesterday. In the league, Derry sat back really, really condensed. Dublin just pass, in through them the whole way. So Derry haven't figured out just the balance there yet. And I think Mickey will be really looking forward to going at it. I think they'll be more aggressive. They'll be trying to push up more on them. But they have to try to get a measure of how to shut down Dublin, because you cannot, and Tyrone showed it, like Tyrone's performance was awful, but you cannot give Dublin the ball. You can't let them be on the ball and sit back. So Derry have to push up a wee bit more than maybe what they're naturally inclined to do.
Big risk reward, though, isn't it? Rory, you've been quietly listening to the lads. And I think, I mean, even you were saying Dublin come and they win finals. It's just what they do. But the chance for Derry to turn them over is massive.
They think they've only lost 2 finals in, I don't know how many years. The last time they were beaten in a final was 2017 by Kerry.
Does a draw count, Rory?
Which?
Does a draw count?
moral victory, definitely.
It's about actually turning them over, really, in a final, which doesn't really happen that often. Because look, the other thing you have to bear in mind, and I know the Dubs will get all upset when we say this, you were playing them in their home patch, so you have to go in there and take on an incredible team, an incredible management, incredible setup, but you also have to beat them on their own at home. They're the home team. And if you look at the amount of strings that they've added, I think they're probably playing their best football since maybe 2019, the time they went the 5 in a row. They have got a consistency in their game now that's just, you know, take out component parts, slot in someone else, doesn't seem to make too much of a difference. There's a lot more adventure in their play. I think that was what I was really interested in, and Enda just mentioned it there, is about how Derry approach it. Do they sit back and allow Dublin to pick them off, or do they go for it? Big problem is, if you go for it, you could be ripped to shreds. I don't expect whoever's the goalkeeper, it would probably be Oran Lynch. I don't expect him to be going walkies, because if he does and they turn you over, the speed with which they can transfer from defence into attack, and you'll be playing lob the goalie more than once with the Dubs. If you look at them,
I think there is opportunities for Derry, though, because
there is, but they're going to be very scant. And one last point, Lee. right? If you look at their scoring charts and Gaelic stats, man, he's a fantastic fella there on Twitter. He's from Cork as well, okay? But if you look at Derry's scores, right? Scores. So I was just looking at it there. He's brilliant, right? Shane McGuigan, 240, 21 frees, right? He's their top scorer. Their next top scorer is Conor Glass with 1-6. Now, if you compare that to the Dublin spread of scores, we all know how good Conor Callaghan is, but Dublin have like 7, 8, 9, 10 weapons that are going to hurt you. So it's not a case of... So Dublin are going into Sunday saying, look, we shut McGuigan down, who does struggle when he moves up the gears because we all know he lacks a yard of pace. We shut McGuigan down. We're halfway home and hosed here. Let's see how they get on with our lot at the other end. I can't see anything but a Dublin win.
I think that...
Kind of recusty as well, you know, 3 goals, so... You know, that's, they have good variety as well, you know. So, just sorry, I was going to say just before, like, the one thing I did notice at Dublin, and we've seen it in against Galway and particularly against Kerry, they do cough up a huge amount of opportunities, though. That Kerry game, for all that was good about Dublin, Kerry got in behind them regularly. You know, Clifford on a good day could finish that first half with 1-4, 1-5. Did you know, that's the other side too. So, Dublin are very comfortable with being 1-1 or 2-2 in the full back line because they put such a squeeze on. But if Derry can get over that from a long kick out, or, you know, I think there is huge opportunity for Derry on Sunday, but that's, again, the risk reward. They're willing to take those risks. I think they have to, in some degree, to have a chance on Sunday.
Tomás, you were going to come in there.
No, I just got, like Rory mentioned it and Enda mentioned it as well about the Dubs and Kilkenny. I think that epitomises, I think that's the whole way Dublin play. Like, Kilkenny was obviously told, yeah, what was being used under Jim, and he, like, you're going in telling a fellow who had 6 or 7 or 8, I don't know how many medals he has, that if you don't change, if you don't change the way you're playing, you won't be playing. And they dropped him in the middle of the championship last year. And I think the whole team, you watched them, any the Dubs, like, they don't take a play out of the ball. They just move it. Whether it's a hand pass, whether it's a kick pass. And then you always have a fella who will be on the end of that hand pass or kick pass. So they're thinking 2 moves ahead. When they're running the ball, there's 3 or 4 of them running. When that long ball is on, it's into con, but there's always somebody coming. They're all not only thinking of the here and now, but they're... And I think that was encompassed in how they got the message across through Kilkenny. And Kilkenny has been unbelievable in the last year and a half. He's playing some of the best football he's ever played, and he's looking fit, he's looking hungry, but he's direct. And even the passes back, they're coming back a lot quicker than they were. You know, and I think that's what it took probably Desi maybe a year to get it into them. But then the whole mix, that's what you have. And then the way to defend, they all want to defend. Look at Scully. Scully is key to the whole thing. You just put a camera on him and what he does. It's the ultimate modern wing forward. The way he covers back, you have Khan back in there. And I saw it above. Within, they'd all be inside the 65, the opposition 65. They get a turnover. And I'm telling you, within 3 or 4 seconds, you have 12 Dublin players in the opposition and their own opposition half again. They just
Like, that's what I was touching on whenever I was saying about the modern game and how we can really sit back and, like, the rules committee in terms of this weekend, it is games like this that you really see, because Dublin obviously were posed with the challenge of the blanket defence and trying to break that down, and they come up under Jim Gavin's team with the antidote to that of stay out of contact, keep possession. And we all club sidelines up and down the country, stay out of contact. That became lesson. You watch Dublin now, bring it on. Bring on the contact. They will go at pace. They will take on men one-to-one. They space out their attacking lines so men can go one-on-one, go into contact, get to the other side. They are, and it's the level of play you're dealing with too, that you can afford to do that. But them and Derry, two of the things that they are amazing at individually as players is keeping the ball in tough situations and managing to go into contact, maybe get a bit stuck, but still retain possession. And what that does, opposition are drew in. If you can get out of that hole and you have enough runners, away they go. It is so difficult to get the ball off either team, but Dublin are probably even better than Derry at it. And they are now producing the antidote to the previous incarnation of the game of all the lateral passing, which they were probably the architects of. it is go direct. And yes, at times they'll come back and they'll switch it, as Tomás says, but those switches are happening with more pace. But it's go forward. And it is something to see and very tough to stop.
It sounds to me like you're all leading. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, Lee. All of you, the love for Dublin coming out of the three of you is just like something I've never heard. And even Rory, which is shocking coming from a Cork fella.
But it's deserved, Jackie.
It's
fully deserved, because like I still don't think Dublin ever get enough credit sometimes for what they've done over the last 10. I know it was boring at times and it was structured and it was very, very planned. But like, for the guys, like I look at Fenton and Kilkenny and Pan, for example, what they've done and what they're continuing. And like, I'm just amazed they still have the hunger that they do to do it, to want to do it.
I couldn't believe that only Dean Rock walked away. That was the thing.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought, wow, how is he managing to keep all of them still playing?
And that's testament to Desi Law. And I found out last year's All-Ireland really emotional for Dublin. You know, like we always see them as kind of robots, but last year they really kind of, you know, there was a lot of kind of emotion about the whole setup, and especially to Desi, and I think this year Desi just compliment them, said, you know what, we're just going to play total football this year, and as a result, it feels like we're kind of just stand over a championship and say Dublin are just going to just walk. And we're not saying that, but we're just based on what we've seen from Dublin so far, is that it's just been pretty damn awesome, to be honest. And it's great to watch total football played the way Dublin play it. I think that's what I'm trying to say. It's just appreciation for what they're doing and still doing and continue to do it. And they always find a way to make the game better, I think, in some ways. And this year, it's just brilliant to watch, to be honest, Jackie. It really
is. With that in mind, do you think, let's finish off on Division 1, because I am conscious I do want to talk about the others. Do you all think then Dublin are going to win this weekend? Enda, you can go first.
No, I don't. I'm saying they're absolutely fantastic, but Derry will be coming at them full bore. I think, I'm not sure who mentioned earlier, but this title will mean more to Derry. Like,
yeah.
Dublin's hunger is, I can't even understand it. Like, and Lee touched on it there, where and you mentioned only Rock stepped away. The rest, how hungry do those boys have to be to keep coming back? Yes, Desi Farrell is brilliant, but that's a special group of players to keep having the hunger to come back. But they can't be as up for a National League final as what Derry are. So Derry will be coming out to make a real, lay down a marker for themselves as much as anything, as part of their project to go and try and win an All-Ireland title. Dublin are in a different place. They're very happy with where they are. They'll come out and they'll produce a high level of performance. But I think Derry mentally will have an edge. So that closes it down. And I think it'll be very close and very much give Derry a chance if it doesn't turn out like that. And I don't think it will happen. But if Dublin happened to win this game at a canter with Derry going hard at them, it would be depressing now for the rest of the year. But I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I don't think it will. I think it'll be level. I, in my heart of hearts, I actually think Derry can take it on Sunday. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, Tomás, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I wouldn't totally disagree with that. I think Derry will really come down trying to, like, you'd have to give credit. We spoke about Desi, but Mickey Hart deserves the same credit. I think it's worked out perfectly for him in that it was possibly a risk. Not really a risk, because Derry were motoring so well in the league, but not to play your full team. It just, everybody sparked, oh, he's waiting for a final, which it actually turns out is going to happen. So there's a little bit of spark now. Put out your full team, go full throttle and see where we're really at against the Dubs. So that little bit of pressure is on Derry to perform. And I think they will. I think they have the quality to do it. I think they have the experience now the last 2 or 3 years. They're knocking on the door. And I think they have to step up. There's probably a little bit more pressure on Derry to step up than Dublin. But then we're looking at Dublin's form of recent times, and I think it will be that bit closer than people think. I don't think Dublin are going to swipe these lads off the pitch, because I do think it's with the whole change of management, with everything that's happening in Derry, and with that bit of expectation, I think they will up it on Sunday and we'll get a cracker.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Lee, what do you reckon?
Dublin 4-6 points. but I agree to that. I think we're going to get a cracking game. I really think it's going to whet the appetite for a championship. I think it's going to set up brilliantly. But I just totally based on what we've seen in the league, I just think Dublin 4-6.
All right. Well, and Rory, we know you said anything other than a Dublin win would be a big shock to you. So let's give you first word on Division 2 then. Armagh, Donegal. You even said this at the start of the year. There was no question it was going to be these two teams in it. I think we've already seen a bit of spice from them in the league pairing between them, as much on the sideline as on the pitch. And I think a lot of people will be just intrigued to see how both of these managers go at this, because the silverware probably isn't the most important thing, but it's the statement of what it might mean later in the year.
Yeah, and I think it could be, in some ways, it might attract part of the biggest crowd over the course of the whole weekend. Because in fairness, one thing you have to give the Armagh gang massive credit on is they've fantastic support. So there should be a lot of noise and a lot of colour for this game. The game between the two teams in the round robin stages of the league was I thought it was a brilliant game. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant game. No, I think matches in the Athletic grounds lend itself to that. It'll be a very different game in Croke Park because, look, the lads are very well attested to let us know. And all we can do is surmise on this because obviously we've never played there. But matches do tend to be different in Croke Park. The football tends to be different. And I think that might suit the way Armagh are playing a little bit more. It was kind of feisty on the sideline between McGuinness and Geezer. Obviously, they'd know each other from a long way back. So we would expect something similar again. And I think the two teams, the fact that they're on the opposite sides of the draw in the Ulster Championship, I think they can probably go in and have a go. Probably would mean a little bit more for Armagh, given the fact that they've, you know, been pipped in a couple of big games, particularly the Ulster final last year on penalties and missed out on potentially All-Ireland semi-finals on penalties on two occasions to Monaghan last year and Galway the year before. So I think in terms of progress and being able to say to the Armagh supporters and the Armagh County Board and everybody, because look, obviously there's seems to be a referendum on McGeaney now every year and each year that passes, even though the team do look to me to be making good progress. I think it would probably mean more to them. And then if you throw into the mix, we know McBrearty is definitely out. And there's a potential as well for Ryan McHugh to be missing as well. Although I think from what I can gather, the news on Ryan McHugh is slightly more positive and more encouraging. Like two massive players for Donegal then as well that potentially are missing and so central and key to everything that they do. But yeah, I think this will be a quality match. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm. Can I throw that at you, Lee, the importance of silverware to Armagh and the journey that they're on versus where Donegal are in a different place with Jim McGuinness in the return?
Better be careful as an ex-player what I say about Kieran McGuinness. He was not too happy with him. But, yeah. I do think so. I think, like, look at Armagh, like, I think, you know, there is some similarities with ourselves over the years in terms of the near misses and bits like that. And you can nearly fall into that trap of the romance with them a little bit. But the reality for Armagh now, I think it's a huge year for them. And I think silverware this weekend would start something special for them. I think Kieran as well is looking potentially at Ulster as a huge, huge target for them this year after last year. Like, basically at this point, like, they had that game, like, for me anyway, against Derry wrapped up twice and let it slip through the fingers. So listen, they've learned a lot over the last couple of years. I think with the group of players they have, I think they have a brilliant set of players. When given the license to play the game they're allowed to play in terms of letting them attack, letting them go at it, I think they're as good as any side on their day. I look at the likes of Roy Grubin in particular, I just think he is just brilliant to what to do. I think he's so underappreciated as a player. So I do firmly think Armagh are probably ahead of Donegal at the moment in terms of development as a squad, where they've been, what they've come through, and even taking the couple of injuries Donegal have come into the game. I think Armagh as an overall will target this on Sunday, and I think they'll come good against Donegal with Ulster really in the back of their mind with a big performance. And listen, they've done everything they've had to do in the league, Jackie, pretty comfortably. You know, obviously the Cork game, the rest of a couple of lads and give a couple of their fringe players game time. But for me, Armagh looked like the more complete team at the moment in terms of where they're going and their development. So I expect a big performance Sunday from Kieran McGeaney and their men.
To go along with that, Enda, they're slightly further ahead in their journey.
Yes. Yes, because physically, I think Armagh is one of the most impressive teams, but that it shows what comes whenever you've got a group of players that for 4, 5, 6 years are on a path and stick at it and stick at it. And just physically, they can absolutely stick with any team in the country. I agree with Lee. Like, they have been a story of near misses. and the narrative, even comparing them and Derry and the different views on them, it's amazing how some narrow results over the past few years can alter that and can alter the belief within the squad. What's interesting for me about Armagh, last year they were quite reliant on the amount that Ethan Rafferty brought to the game. And maybe that was part and parcel of them being quite defensive moving forward in a relatively predictable manner, and teams being able to shut them down, and then they were reliant on Ethan Rafferty to push through or come as that spare man at the back. They've certainly changed back to a blend between last year's defensive solidity and the previous year, where this zest for attacking football and long balls raining in and being a wee bit more aggressive on the front foot. They've done that. Blaine Hughes has come in, being a traditional goalkeeper, and I think that's a fascinating way to look at how Armagh has changed between last year and this year, from going to a modern keeper last year, all attacking, to Blaine Hughes sitting back this year, defensively solid, and their forwards, their spacing is better in their forwards, their movement, their angles of runs have obviously got much more creative. Now they added Conleith Gilligan from Derry. Geezer added Conleith Gilligan. Geezer, one thing you'd have to say, that he's always reaching out. He's bringing good people in with him. He's got that sort of level of management about him. It's not about him as such, no matter what people would say. He brings people in. And Gilligan's a shrewd man. Was with Kilcoo, was with Eden Dorkin, Trone here, done a good job with them, and he's in there with Armagh. So Armagh's in a good place. Donegal have been hampered with injury. And I think Donegal will be very happy they got promoted, given the injuries that they've been dealing with during the year. I think their focus is on Derry. I think their focus is on that match in Celtic Park. They're building for that. They're training very, very hard in that. They've been frequenting the beaches up in Donegal on a fairly regular basis, by all accounts. So I think they'll be looking to put on a good performance this weekend, obviously, and build. But I think they know they're short a few of their main men. And so their main focus will be coming through, decent performance, no further injuries, and build for Celtic Park.
Yeah, because to be fair to Moss, a Donegal without Paddy McBrearty and Ryan McHugh is a completely different offering than if you hold off a couple of weeks, you get them and they're all firing against Derry.
Yeah, I mentioned it before. I think that these two teams definitely will target realistically an Ulster Championship, and that's what they'll be going for. The league game that they played, they in a competitive Division 2, they romped home. The two of them just romped home. They drew against each other. They didn't want to lose against each other. I think the two managers brings in another added bit of extra spice to it. I think it's phenomenal what McGuinness does. Like, you basically have the same set of players. He comes back in. He just, I don't know what it is, and it's no disrespect to other managers, but he just has that ability right now. Any team that he gets involved with Donegal, the organisation comes back into it. Everybody wants to play. The fans get behind them. This everything. There's just a buzz above there. And I think he gets more out of the players as a result. I think that buzz is there. And I think more than anything else, he brings an expectation of actually winning. Like, nobody would have seen that team that he came in winning an All-Ireland. And I have no doubt that he's targeting an Ulster. So I think, you know, I think they'll, neither team will want to lose. Like Armagh, I completely agree with Enda. 2 years ago, they were probably playing swashbuckling, attacking football. And I'd say they sat down at the end of the season and said, whoa, we're leaking way too much. And then possibly went too far the other way last season, even though they should have won an Ulster. So you're talking, you see, that's the thing, Jackie, with provincials. You can have that discussion about Leinster or Munster. And that's what's
they did only concede two goals. And guess who scored those goals, Tomás?
Who?
Only joking. No.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, I know. And I just feel you know, you see Dublin, the division, the top teams in Division 2, it's everybody says the winner has to come from Division 1. Dublin blew that out of the water last year. I think that you have four top teams come championship playing in the Division 1 and Division 2 finals. I think it's probably more important for Derry. I think these two teams will have full focus on championship, fully focused. These two teams really, really would benefit hugely with an Ulster, and I think they firmly believe, and I think they can. I think they can actually win Ulster as well, because I don't think either of them will fear Derry. It takes on a life of its own up there, and they would have a better perspective on it. Whereas we'd always say, oh yeah, Derry are in the Division 1 final, they're top three, but a Donegal pouring well with all their top men and an Armagh won't fear. You saw it last year with Armagh. You just don't. But
what's funny about that, Tomás, right? And Enda, put this to you. Oh, for all of these teams, we've said, oh yeah, silverware would be great. They'd love it. But all of these teams, bar us talking about the provincial championships being dead and everybody saying they're gone. All three of those teams would take an Ulster championship over a league medal every single day of the week, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what's hilarious absolutely. In it. The point that Tomás is making, that it's all dead, and it totally is, because we're sitting looking at a Munster and Limerick.
Jackie. But you could pick out the top games above an Ulster. You can pick out the top games in Leinster. You can pick out the top games. It's just that there's too many dead games in the provinces.
That's my issue with it. Yeah, that's fair.
No, and the other problem is because the provincial championship comes after the league, you're only as good as your last game. All the lads know, like, you could be winning. You go out in the next game. And that's why we talk lots and lots about this now. Come the provincial championship, come the round robin stage of the championship, these feel like another century. These games, they feel so relevant to them games at that current time. Mm. And then you fast forward into the quarterfinal, semi-final, and all Ireland. This year, it doesn't matter a jot, if you know what I mean. So the league, because it's placed behind the provincial championships, then the provincial victory, particularly when it's competitive and it's feisty and you've got a lot of decent teams going for it, then it's of high value. Just for me, I think Donegal, like McGuinness, you just have to feel that he's working on a specific plan for Derry, and that'll be where his training direction is. The last thing he'll want to do on Sunday is to show any element of that to Derry. He'll want to be keeping that under wraps. Whereas Armagh, I think their style of football is their style of football. I think they're quite happy. I don't think they're playing Fermanagh in the first round. I don't think there's going to be any fancy plans ahead there. They don't have that huge fixture to come down. So that's where I just think Armagh will be more focused going out doing what they do. Whereas Donegal, to a certain extent, will be shadow boxing, not against Armagh, but against Derry.
He's the one, Enda, that you say it. He's the one manager. Every manager you play in National League, and you say I've never been part of a team that has gone out and it's been said inside the dressing room before, we're changing up tactics now just because we don't want to show our cards. He's the one manager. I'd love to ask him. I've never asked him, but I will ask him at some stage. They came down to Killarney and they were, I'd say, into year two of their project, and they came down. They went man on us in Killarney, and we bait him fairly well. But they didn't seem ruffled. They didn't seem bothered, whereas a defeat might be pressure coming from local media, from supporters, probably from people inside in the setup themselves. But they do that. And he's the one fella completely, Donegal, ultra defensive at the time, came down, played us man on man, even from the game before. We couldn't believe it. And we're saying, what is going on here? And obviously they change it up, but he is the one player or manager that isn't afraid.
There's always a bigger picture from
him. Yeah.
Well, it's working for him so far. Okay, let's finish off on Division 3 and 4 then. And Rory, I think you had put it when we were kind of chatting off air beforehand about this, that one of the greatest things with this Division 3 final is nobody actually knows what they're playing for. And this is one of the problems with the provincial finals to come, because I think for Westmeath and Down, both of them will be hoping that Louth make a Leinster final so that they can still get in, because whoever wins, they still don't know their fate really until come the end of the provincial stages, which kind of makes a bit of a mockery of the whole thing, really.
I suppose all they can do, it does. And I suppose all they can do really is just go out and try and win the game. It might be, because there's so much mystery attached to it, it might, in a sort of a perverse way, be the most honest fixture, because effectively the teams really don't know. So you've got
you
hedge your bets and say, well, look, we have to go for this because it could matter.
Yeah,
you know, it Munster might be.
Clare is a problem, isn't it?
Clare. Yeah.
If Clare were to make a Munster final, if they beat Waterford or Tip, then the loser of this Division 3 final will be playing Tailteann Cup. So that's a big one. But also for both of them, if Louth were to make it, like on the basis that, let's say, Westmeath don't make a Leinster final, if Louth were to make it, then Westmeath winning this weekend would be huge for them. So there is a lot of other pieces that play.
And if Meath make the Leinster final, does that?
Yeah.
change it up as well.
Well, yeah, because that would create another place as well.
Because
that's
their Talchin Cup place will fall down the pecking order. So, like, I suppose, look, I think, to be fair, if you're just taking the fixture on its merits, Down have been the best team in the league. If you're going to just work it all, I mean, it was the only game that I watched in advance because I had that recorded from a couple of weeks ago when it was live on TG Car and it was on Paddy's Weekend. It was a game played on a Sunday. No, like, I thought Down were the better side overall. Westmeath have had some lucky breaks actually through the course of the league. Potentially mightn't even be in this final. Had a certain decision gone against him in the Clare game where he gave a push for a free out and disallowed a last minute goal. But having said that, I think across the board, Down had to go and beat Clare, make sure they did their job last weekend. They did it comprehensively. They have been by far the best side. They've added an awful lot in terms of from last year. Obviously lost the Talchin Cup final last year. I don't necessarily see it being a huge benefit to them to be going back into the Talchin Cup again. And I think they will know that a win this weekend should give them safe passage back to Sam Maguire, which is, I think, where they need to be anyway. I think, look, across the board, they have been the best side in Division 3. But, like, you know, look, Westmeath, I think, like, the game was a draw when they met in the round-robin stages. Westmeath have ridden their luck at times, and I thought they rode it that day. And you just wouldn't know, but you'd have to fancy Down going into this one.
All right, spin around the houses on these ones then. Lee, how do you see this one going? Down or Westmeath for you?
I back down. I think they're on a really good journey at the moment under Conor Laverty. I think I always find Down a bit of a mystery team over the years. Didn't know really where they were as a group, what they wanted to do, what they wanted to get out of it. I just found since Conor has come in, he's really laid down a stall in terms of what he wants to get out of it. And just he's got them playing good football again. He's got his best players back. He's got rid of all that kind of malarkey that's going on within internally. So I think for me, just looking at their journey and where they are at the moment, I think Down just look a better balanced team and even with the results. You know, Clare, I would have given somewhat a bit of a chance against them that last day, but they pretty much dominated them last 20 minutes in particular when Clare were still in the game. So for me, just on the balance of where the teams are at, I do think Down by a couple of points on Saturday. So,
Enda?
Yeah, I think Down for a couple of reasons. One, the biggest reason being that we'll see the response to the Talchin Cup final last year and that sort of what was a shock at the time, Meath beating them because Down had produced a fantastic semi-final performance down there. They look like a Croke Park team because of the sheer speed that they carry and their mobility that they carry, which usually is emphasised in Croke Park. They look like a Croke Park team, and obviously as a county and their own history, they love going down there traditionally. Talchin Cup final loss to Meath was a real sucker punch to them. And I think they will want to come out and show that they're back to winning their finals in Croke Park. So they'll come down with a real job to do. And for me, they've got the speed of the game. And Kieran Mina, if I was talking about Conleth Gilligan's impact or help to Armagh, I think Kieran Mina has been a superb winter signing by Conor Laverty in terms of his influence with Down there as well.
Mm. Last word to you on Division 3 then. Tomás, Down or Westmeath for you?
I think it's going to be very hard to pick a winner, to be honest with you, Jackie. I think they are, as you look at it, and I've seen enough of them over the last two seasons, and especially what happened with Down last year, I think they're two Sam Maguire teams. And I think that's the main thing here. I think it is disappointing, and the system is still flawed, that if one of them don't make it and teams then do, look, that's the other side of it. I probably will lean towards Down on the basis of what the lads were saying there and in terms of last year, the way it fell for them in the Talchin Cup final. But I wouldn't be surprised if Westmeath come good. Westmeath are a kind of if they catch fire, they can be really, really impressive. Yeah. And they're always up. I think Desi Dolan deserves huge credit as well because I mean, he was in a group last year in the All-Ireland where
kick of a ball from getting out.
Yeah, but I think he's done really well this year then to build on that and to come good and get promotion. So everything that's been asked of him, he's answered basically, and he's getting the most out of the players, which is always good. So I think it'll be really, really tight. But look, if it were putting a gun to my head, I'd probably say Down.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully that's a good game as well. Let's round it all off on Division 4 final, Laois against Leitrim. And I think, Lee, in a lot of ways, Leitrim are the story of the league. What Andy has managed to achieve there, he called them a football mad county. They seem to have really bought into what he's trying to do there. And they go from last year where they're fifth in Division 4, they're sort of middle of the road, to this year suddenly really pushing upwards. And their trajectory looks like it's going in the right direction. And he must be delighted.
Oh, definitely, Jackie. And I think even losing one of their top forwards in Keith Byrne before the start of the year must have been a right kick in the teeth as well. You think in your luck can't get any worse. But to be fair to Andy, I know how disappointed he was last year. Like, one of his huge targets, and he was pretty open about it from day dot, was he really wanted to get a Division 4, get promotion, and get that game in Croke Park. And, you know, you've probably seen over the last number of days with some of his interviews how excited he is. We know Andy's quite...
It comes true.
Well, yeah, he's quite excited on a bad day. So, you know, when things are good, he's going to be overhyped. So, but it's a brilliant story. And he's, like, Andy's involved with under-20s there as well. So he's trying to get the structures in place. He's trying to get the S&C and all that kind of good stuff in the background, because it's quite hard for a population that Leitrim have to get all the stuff required to be challenged. So, listen, they need a bit of luck along the way. I'm sure Wexford and I will obviously have a bit of a sad moment with a look back with certain decisions. But Andy deserved that bit of luck. And a lot of people were putting a bit under pressure with the New York performance last year, and where Leitrim were going, and was Andy the right man? I think, you know, listen, he's got the best of what he could get out of this group at the moment. Will it be enough for the weekend? I don't believe it will. But for Andy, just to get back into Croke Park with that team, I think it's given a huge buzz and a huge belief within that team. So, but the biggest challenge for me, Jai, is not even Sunday. It's where Leitrim go after this. What's their expectation? What's realistic for them as a group? I think they need to get some good performance in Tangent Cup after last year. Really poor campaign. So listen, they're up against the Sunday, but in terms of they're riding the crest of a wave at the moment. So I think that for me is a great start for Andy in year three. So hopefully they can push on and see where that brings them.
I think you might ask a similar question of Laois, Enda, because you look at them last year, they missed out on promotion. Their whole season fell apart then after that. The Telton Cup was a total disaster for them. They didn't win a single game. So even for them, it's not just about winning this weekend. It's actually about what kind of momentum they can bring into the summer, because I think everybody in Laois will agree last year was just a season to forget.
Well, sorry, just they're playing Dublin as well. So you got
to. That's
that
true. But, well, that's like, first in the Leinster Championship. Yeah. But in the Telton Cup after that, though, Lee, they were playing Tipperary, Longford, you know, like they're games that they would have been expecting to win, like, you know.
I think that they just reached that. And sometimes it happens with a team that just reached that place where everything that could go wrong can go wrong. They'd lost where there was nothing more to play for. And they probably sensed that there was a change in management coming and everything else. And so all bets really are off at that stage. But, like, I remember playing Laois in a league final back in 2003. So that's, and Tomás would be, Lee probably doesn't, but Laois back then were Division One that had some great minor teams coming through whenever the Throne Miners sort of came through. Laois, but they're a team that shouldn't be in Division Four. And sometimes things happen and things can drive that goes down there. And sometimes it can be the bounce and the sort of sorting out and then the collective getting together and the acceptance that we're better than this and moving on. And certainly under Justin McNulty, they've really walked out of that division this year. You would expect them to take Saturday. But it's right, how much can they go on? Because they're a team that probably can, if they get it together, they're a team that certainly can get up into Division Two. There's plenty of other teams in Division Three are trying to get out of that too, but certainly Laois are a team on the move. It's great to see it. You need to see more Leinster teams doing it, obviously. But credit to Justin McNulty, even with his helicopter trips, he's done a fine job down there.
He certainly has. All right, Tomás, how do you see this one going?
I think it's a hard one to call. I think Leitrim beat them already in the league, but I think when it comes to a final like this, it'll be very, very difficult to call. I mean, if you look at Leitrim's main forward last year was Keith Byrne, I think, and He left for whatever, he couldn't commit this year. But I think they had a poor league last year. They got beat in New York last year. Then they came in and they had a very poor Telton. So somewhere when you're looking at teams in Division 3 and Division 4, I'd always look at the managers and how they cope from year to year. That's why I'd be very respectful of what Desi Dolan's doing with Westmeath. But then after last year, to be very easy, I see panels and players turning against managers, whatever. So what, like, Andy obviously has something up there. He brought in Mickey Graham from Cavan. Yeah. There's a buy-in from everybody, and they're reaping the rewards. And it's very easy then to go into training on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And then you've the same thing happening in Laois, where they're basically the same players as last year. How could they perform like they did last year with the same players? And this year, and it is the structures there. So the two managers deserve huge credit. But again, like, that's the beauty of it. They're in a final and they have something to play for in terms of, and it would give them a huge boost, no doubt about it. But then they want to, and in reality, the two teams aren't going to be looking down the barrel in Sam Maguire, but Tailteann is where they want to have a good. That's the next step for them to really step it up and try to bring players through. And Andy is involved in the 20s. So, I'd probably go with Leitrim. I think there's just a bit of a buzz there, but it wouldn't surprise me, Jackie. That's the beauty of the four games this weekend. That's why I love watching the league, is they're four hard games to call.
Yeah. That's why we'll be pining for it, Rory, when it's gone. I'm telling you, we'll be looking at provincial football in a few weeks, pining for these league finals.
Yeah, could be a few weeks of pain, all right. And I think this
division... come on, up to Ulster, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well,
moving to Ulster
In fairness to Ulster, like, you could have a situation where Division 1, 2 and 3, if we're going according to Enda's predictions, Division 1, 2 and 3 will be won by Ulster teams, and that would, I suppose, copper fasten the strength of Ulster football on the back
of winning
All-Ireland clubs and winning All-Ireland clubs at senior and junior and intermediate level. So Ulster football is certainly on a high. I think the Division 4 final, Dara Rooney and Ryan O'Rourke, two very good forwards that Leitrim have. Very high scoring. I think, do Laois have forwards of that calibre? Maybe not. Laois's third highest scorer, again, compliments the Gaelic stats, man, is their goalkeeper. You know, so he's very, very accurate from
That's
freeze.
That's the modern game, Rory.
From freeze in 45s. He's kicked 12. He's got 3 points from play. So, like, I you'd probably give Laois a hesitant nod, just the fact that they may have a small bit more Croke Park experience, given the fact that they're a Leinster team and they would have been expected to win this division. But I think Laois aren't going into it without hope. It's probably the romantic of the most romantic of the four. And if Leitrim were to come out on top, I think everybody would be happy without trying to be patronizing. Apologies
most
to all my Leitrim
romantic
friends.
Romantic of the four. I love it. Right, lads, we're going to leave it there. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Lee, Tomás, Enda, enjoy the matches wherever you're going. And myself and Rory will be back Easter weekend. We'll be back Monday, Tuesday to chat through it all. And look forward to these brilliant provincial championships. So don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And we'll talk to you soon.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a goal. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road. And that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar. Moses!